It's always a privilege and an honor to bring the Word of God. Take your Bibles this evening, turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6. I'm going to read verses 6 through 8. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. When you're all there, please stand out of reverence to God's Word, out of respect for the Holy Word of God. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. Glad to see everybody here tonight. It's been a long day for many of you, fucking busting in super church. So don't plan on being unduly long tonight. I'm going to give you, I think, a great thought from the Word of God tonight. Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. And besides me, there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it? And set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no God. I know not any. Let's pray. Our precious and heavenly Father, Lord, we're blessed to be able to come before you. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful church. Thank you, Lord, for the church house, Lord, the saints of God. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and holy word. Now, Lord, we're just asking you, please bless this evening. Lord, help me to be an encouragement to those that came out tonight. God, they came looking for a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd fill their cup. Father, we do lift up, Lord, all those, Lord, in need of prayer tonight. God, please be with them, comfort them, help them, Lord. Meet their great need. And Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The title of my message this evening is Four Things God Does Not Know. Four things that God does not know. Now, by the way of introduction, you might ask, well, Brother Rob, I thought God knew everything, and indeed God does know everything. Amen? Amen. But God says it here in His Word in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8. He says, there is something that I don't know. And as you study the Scriptures, there's actually four things that God says, I don't know. And you know what? It's a great thing and an amazing thing and a blessing, these four things. And I want to bring them to you tonight. And I want them to encourage you, lift you, and it be a blessing to your soul. Now, as you study theology, you go to Bible college. I think we've got a great one here, Bethel Baptist Institute. You'll come and learn great things about God. You'll learn about God's omnipotence. That means God is all powerful. You'll learn about God's omniscience, that God knows everything. You'll learn about God's omnipresence, that He is everywhere all at the same time. But God says here in Isaiah 44 and verse 8, He says, is there a God besides me? Yea. There is no God. I know not any. God says, number one, God doesn't know any other gods. God says, I've looked high and I've looked low. And God says, there is no other gods. So you got to remember, back in the beginning in Genesis, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. So before in the beginning, there was just God. And see, if there would have been another God, it would have said, in the beginning, God and another God. But it doesn't say that. It says, in the beginning, God. Yeah. My friends, there is but one true God. Yeah. Now, today, you think of what is God? And we think, well, what is God? Well, God, why are you making this point? Well, you think, what is our relationship with it? God, a God is something that you look to and something that you give unto. You give adoration. You give praise. You give time. You give your love. You give your heart. What are you giving your life to now? Are you giving something other than God, your adoration? A God is someone we worship. A God is someone that you look to and say, oh Lord, I love you. My life is complete because of you. My life has meaning and purpose because of you. Are we giving that place of reverence and honor to something other than God? Now, we're pretty smart here in America. We don't have idols. What God was referring to here in the Scripture is, you know, back in the Bible days, they had little idols. They would make little statues of clay and stone, sometimes of gold and silver, and they would put them in a special place, and they would burn incense to them and offer money to them. And we look at that and say, oh, those people, oh, those ignorant people and those heathen people, they worship that God, and they adore that God, and they pray to that God, and they really look to that God. But what are they really doing this morning, this evening? Number one, they're looking for salvation. Everybody goes to their God for salvation, for their deliverance, for their rescue, for their security. You know, I know a lot of people tonight who aren't looking to God for their salvation and their security. They're looking to their job. They're looking to their spouse. They're looking to their IRA or their 401k. They're looking to their house. They're looking to a person. They may even be looking to the pastor. They may be looking to their church. My friends, God says there is no God but God. And tonight, if you have your sight set on anyone or anything else but God Almighty, you are going to be sorely disappointed. God says, I don't know any other gods but me. So if you and I are giving the purpose of our life, if you and I are giving the energy of our life to anything or anyone besides the Almighty God, you're wasting your life tonight. If you're looking for your salvation, whatever it is that you're running away from, maybe you're running away from a bad life. Maybe you're running away from a bad marriage. I was going to say a bad wife, but you know, that's just not kosher. If you're running away from a bad life, or a bad marriage, or a bad upbringing, and you're running to something, you better be running to God. Because if you're running for your salvation, for your security, to anybody but God, my friends, you're running to the wrong place. Not only do people look to their God for salvation, but they look to their God, number two, for their significance, their supply, and their service. See, there's really four things that you look to for a God. Number one, you look for salvation. Number two, you look for significance. You know, so many people invest and plow themselves into this world to make them feel important. I think God has created us with a desire to belong. Every person, I believe, unless they're deeply scarred, has a great and a desire to belong to a family. The greatest. I know what it was like to be unmarried and see all my friends get married. I greatly desired to belong. Growing up in school and in college, and even as a young man, I greatly desired to belong to a purpose, to a group where I could feel loved and accepted. And what I was missing out was the fact that I needed to look to God. The greatest liberation I ever had was to find my significance in my God. Yeah. To say, apart from my family, apart from my job, apart from who I am and what I do, I am significant because Jesus Christ loves me. Yeah. I am significant because God Almighty loved me enough to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary for me. If He would do it for no one else, if there was no one else, Jesus Christ would have come for you. You are worth it. You are significant. I brought a message not long ago called Jewels for Jesus. You are the crown jewel in God's eyes. Number three, the supply. What are you looking to tonight to supply your need? Oh, how many times I have short-cheated myself because I have said, oh, I'm going to make this happen. Oh, I'm going to figure this out. Oh, I'm going to work this out instead of saying, God, I need you. Oh, how many times I've done that? How many times that I have robbed myself and robbed God of the privilege of being my supply? People, I know what it is to fear of losing your job. This last year, they were seriously trying to send my job over to India. They were going to send him to Old Abu over there and to do my job. And I had that fear. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do if they move my job overseas and lose my job? And, you know, you depend on your job. You got to live. You got to pay the bills. Say, God, what am I going to do if I lose my job? And God reminded me, hey, who's paying you? It's not Allstate Insurance Company. It's God Almighty. You see, we need to look to God tonight. I don't know what your need is tonight, but I got a great big God with a great big supply of whatever you need. If it's grace, He's got it. If it's money, He's got it. If it's love, He's got it. Forgiveness, no problem. No matter what your need of supply is tonight, God has it. But God says, there is no other God but me. So if you're looking tonight for some other place for your salvation, for your significance, or for your supply, you're looking in the wrong place. God says you can look high and you can look low, but you're not going to find any other God but me. Service. You know, you have been given a great gift. That's called the gift of life. You've been given certain talents, certain abilities, certain strengths, and God has given you them not for you to frit away on yourself, not for you to squander away for a company, not to give it to the world. God wants you to give what He gave to you back to Him. That's the reason why you were created. We need to render unto God what's God. And you know what that is? That's our service. Number one, God says, I know a lot of things. But God says, I don't know any other gods. Amen. Tonight, I don't know who you're looking to for all of these things, for your salvation, for your significance, for your supply, and for your service. But it better be God. Young people, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life in a field or a career or a calling that is not glorifying and serving God.
Yes.
You'll waste your life. Talk to your parents. Talk to these people here. All the regrets that we have of the time and the energy and the labor and the money we spend in pursuits that we're not glorifying and serving and honoring to God. Number one, God says, I don't know any other gods. Number two, take your Bibles tonight and turn to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14. God says, number one, I don't know any other gods. He says, I know everything. And He says, there's one thing I don't know. And that's, I don't know any other gods. But in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, we find the second thing that God doesn't know. God says here, He's obviously talking to Abraham and Sarah. He says in Genesis 18, 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now the Lord, let me let you know a little secret. The Lord really wasn't looking for an answer there. All right? That's what you call a rhetorical question. When you already know the answer and you're asking it, God's like, is there anything too hard for me? The answer is no. Amen. The second thing God doesn't know anything too hard for Him. Now in this life, things seem insurmountable, right? This is the greatest illustration I've ever seen. I want you all to take your right hand, all right? Take your right hand, and I want you to cover your right eye. Work with me here. All right, I'm watching, all right? Now, you should only have one eye open, all right? You take your left thumb. Take your left thumb, stick it out there. Stick it out as far as you can, and look at it with your one eye. That's pretty small, isn't it? Now, I want you to bracket all the way up. Don't poke your eyeball out, but I want you to bring it all the way up to your eye. Holy moly, look at that thing. That thing's huge. All right, you can put them down. You know what that is? That's perspective. You see, when you and I are living in the midst of a problem, you know what it is? It's huge. It's big. It's all you can see. If you weren't peeking, that's all you could see was your thumb, all right? That's all you could see. You just saw this big thumb in your sight. And you know life's like that. Sometimes, whether it's a spouse, maybe it's a medical need. My mom's issue right now with ALS, that's a big issue with me. It's a big issue with her. It's a big issue with my family. It's a huge thing in our lives. Because I'm in it. I'm living in the problem. I'm living with the need. I'm living with the heartache and the heartbreak. It's a big thing. But number two, God says, I don't know anything too hard for me. And you know what it is? It's a matter of perspective. How many times have you faced a great crisis in your life? When a huge crisis in your life? And yet, God was faithful. God brought you through that trial. God met that need. God supplied that want. God helped you through. And you know what? You get down the road a little bit, and you're like, wow, that wasn't so bad. Wow, you know, I thought that was going to kill me. You know, how many of you guys just went through the 10th grade achievement test? 10th grade test, anybody in here? Nobody in 10th grade. All right, we got one. All right, it's big, aren't they? It was huge. I know I had some friends that were going through it. And they're like, oh, man, if I don't pass, I'm not going to graduate high school. And it's a big thing. And I remember taking them tests. You're like, oh, man, you're nervous. And it's huge. But God says, I don't know anything too hard for me. I don't care what the barrier is. God says, it's not too big for me. God says, I don't care what the problem is. It's not too big for me. And this is a big one, number three. I don't care who the person is. It's not too hard for me. God says, is there anything too hard for me? The answer is no. So I don't know what your need is tonight. Brother Steve, we're praying for you. This is a big surgery. You know, this is a big problem in your life. First the heart surgery, now the hernia surgery. That's a big thing. But Brother Steve, God's going to get you through. Because God says there's nothing too hard for Him. And I don't know what you face. Maybe you're facing the terror of old age. And I know some godly old people, and you know they're struggling. They're struggling with the fear of the insurance premiums and dwindling supply. And they look at their life and they say, oh my heavens, how am I going to live? I know young people are facing their life and their career. My friends, tonight you have a God that there is nothing too hard for Him. And you and I need to go to Him. You and I need to go and say, oh God, I've got a big problem. But I'm so glad that I've got a great big God. You've got a big God tonight. No matter how big your problem is, you've got a great big God. God says, there is nothing too hard for me. Number three, and this is precious. God says, number one, I don't know any other gods. Number two, God says, I don't know anything too hard for me. Number three, God says, I don't know too lost a sinner. God says, I don't know too lost a sinner. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Jesus speaking here, He says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you know that God is not worried by sin? God's disgusted by sin. God's heartbroken by our sin. God, I believe, is looking for soul winners tonight and go out and win some sinners tonight. But you know, when Jesus came, you know what they said of Him? He was a friend of what? He was a friend of the sinners. You know, I was thinking today, you know, if I want anything to be said of me, I want to be said I was a friend to the sinner. Because thank God, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Rob Hopeful is nothing special. Rob Hopeful is nothing to write home about. I'm just a sinner saved by God's amazing grace. Let me tell you something. You don't want to know about my life. You don't want to know about the depths of my sin. You don't want to know about the struggles that I face and the internal emotional turmoil. You know why? Because you would be just like you. We set preachers up on pedestals saying, oh man, they got their life together. Oh man, they got the victory over sin. No, we make it through every day just like you do. We face the same heartache. We face the same struggles. We face the same temptations of the flesh. We just avail ourselves of the grace of God. See, this is nothing. I'm nothing special. I'm here because this is where God wants me to be. I'm here tonight because this is where my pastor asked me to be. And you're here tonight because you know why God called you to be here. You're here tonight because your pastor asked you to be here. There's no difference. My friends, God doesn't know too hard a sinner. So that family member that you've been praying for 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years, or 20 years, God says, I don't know too hard a sinner. That person that you work with, that deeply in sin, cold-hearted person, God says, I don't know too hard a sinner. We sometimes give up on people. We say, oh, that person will never get saved. Oh, that person is given, they're just too hard and too lost. Oh, well, thank God a murderer like Saul wasn't too hard for God to save. Thank God a murderer and an adulterer like David wasn't too hard to save. Thank God the sinners and the defilers of themselves and effeminate, the scriptures say, it says, and such were some of you. There is no one beyond the grace of our great God. God says, I don't know too lost a sinner. You know what that challenges us to do? That means we ought not to judge who ought to get saved and who ought not to get saved. Who we're going to witness to and who we're not going to witness to. I remember going, we used to do a lot of college ministry. When I was going to Bible college, one of the things I had a heart to do was go up to the University of Akron. And I had to do soul winning up at the University of Akron. And I mean, you wouldn't talk about a hard crowd. They're an educated crowd. And man, they think they got the world by the horns. And you get to, you know, some big rough guys. And I always liked going up to the biggest, maddest, meanest looking dude. Man, I was shaking in my boots, you know. But I'd go up to him and say, hey, I'm Brother Rob Hoffman, and I'd like to invite you to church. Boy, everybody else got quiet. You know, they figure, man, if this little guy is crazy enough to invite that guy, man, I am nothing compared to him. It's amazing. I mean, I get that same big old red, yellow stripe down my back too every time I knock on a door. It's a fearful thing to go out and witness for God. So I take the book of Romans. There's a shame associated with the gospel. But my friends, God says, I don't know too hard a sinner. So you know what? We ought not to stop praying and we ought not to stop witnessing. Because God, you don't know who God's going to reach by His amazing grace. Number one, God says, I don't know any other gods. And I don't know anything too hard for me. And I certainly don't know too lost a sinner. And thank God. Lastly, the point you've been looking for. God says, I don't know too sorry a saint. Turn to Psalms chapter 71 and verse 51. Psalm 51. And sorry, I mean sorry, sad sack sinner. Saved by the grace of God. Psalm, right there in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 51. This is David speaking here. Not our David, of course, but it might apply. No, I'm just kidding. Psalm 51, we're going to read just verses 10 through 13. He says here for Psalm 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And we know we're saved, eternally saved. God's not going to take his Holy Spirit from us. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. He says, oh God, please help me to get back on track in my life. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go soul winning. God says, number four, I don't know too sorry a saint. Thank God, God doesn't give up on the backslidden Christian. Amen. You know, I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times I've been a disappointment, not only to myself, but to my great God. There's been many times that the things I should have done that I left undone. There's things that I shouldn't have done that I grievously, I know I grieve the heart of God. When I just willfully went out in my own way, as the Bible says, in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to do my own thing. But thank God, God says, I don't know too sorry a saint. He says, I don't know someone too backslidden that I can't forward slide. God says, I don't know someone with too cold a heart that I can't warm. God says, I don't know anyone who's trashed their life and made a shipwreck of their life, that if they won't come and be honest with God and repent of their sins and get right with God, that God can't use you. Never think that your life is over for God. Never think your service is over for God. You say, Brother Rob, you don't know what I've done. I don't want to know what you've done. You don't know what I've done. Amen. Thank God nobody knows what we've left undone. Yeah. Amen? God says, I don't know too sorry a saint. Tonight you might have made a mess of your life. You might just be a young person tonight. And you might be heading down the wrong path. You've been raised in church just like me. You knew the right way. You knew the right road. But you chose the wrong road. Oh, tonight, don't waste your life. I'm so glad God reached down and touched my heart at 19 years of age. And said, oh, Rob Pofel, you need to give your life over to me. I was already saved, but I had taken back the reins of my life. Tonight, God doesn't know too sorry a saint. And tonight, no matter where you are in your walk with God, God says, you're never too far from me. See, God follows so close to you. God is with you. He says, if you'll but just turn around, if you'll but just turn to me and say, oh God, I've let you down again. Oh God, I've disappointed you. God, I know I'm a disaster in my life and in my spiritual walk and my service. Oh, folks, God will wrap His arms around you. He'll shower you with His love and His grace, His mercy. And folks, God's got a great plan for your life. Amen. Right where you are, no matter how far down that path you've gone, God can start a fresh beginning in your life. God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to come to church and be active. God wants you to give Him your heart. Thank God for the four things that God does not know. Let's all stand, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Pastor, please come.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, what a great message. What a great truth. What a great God. tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How big is your God? And tonight, have you went away from the Lord? God can help the sorriest saint. Maybe you've messed up. He says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while you may. Maybe some of you need to call on him tonight. Maybe you've slipped away. Maybe you've got into some things that Robert said when he was young that he knew he shouldn't have got into. Oh, he was saved, but he went the way of the world. How many say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. Why Robert preached tonight, God spoke to my heart. I know I'm saved, but I've slipped away. And I want God to warm my heart again. I want God to draw me back again for the service of his glory. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. 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 Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. God bless you. You know what? Why don't you just come and pray? Come right now. Yeah. That's right. Just come. Yeah. By your coming, help others to come. That's right. What's on your heart today? You just come. Don't worry about what other people think. You just get with God. I don't care what people think. I just care about what God thinks. Yeah. That's all that matters. What does God think? Maybe you heard it and you've never been saved. You'd say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that tonight? Just raise your hand, put it back down. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to slide away all the way into hell. Young people, how's your walk with God? Young people, how are you in those secret places with God? We're going to sing a verse. If you'd like to come for any reason, you come. David. Come. You just come. Preacher, you don't know the evil sin that I've done. God knows and he can forgive it. Because there's nothing that God can't forgive. Nothing's too hard for God. Keep playing softly. Let me say this to you and those that would come in by way of internet. We have a vast, I think the other day he sent me an email. I think there's 10 or more countries now coming in by way of internet into our website. Several countries around the world. From Australia, from the Philippines, from Canada, England, Brazil, Argentina. different countries all over the world are coming into our internet. And we're hoping they're coming into the preaching that we have for them. Maybe you're listening by way of the tape tonight on the internet, and you've just heard one of our great associate pastors, Robert Pofo, bring that message, four things that God doesn't know. He doesn't know any other gods because He's the only true God. And you know what? You've been searching. You've tried everything, like the Hollywood stars. You've tried drugs, and you've tried alcohol, and you've tried every kind of religion down, up and down the street, but you haven't found God. You need to come to Him right now. Right now, while you're listening to this tape, you need to bow your head right now. You need to bow your head and say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. You need to make Christ your personal Savior tonight. And by the way, when you meet Jesus, you'll meet God. Because Jesus and God are the same. They're one. See, you never met God, and there's only one. Until you meet the Savior, Jesus Christ, you don't meet God. Because Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He didn't know the Father, know the Son. He didn't know the Son, know the Father. You got to know the Son to know the Father. Why don't you just ask Christ to come in your heart and save you tonight? Send us an email and tell Associate Pastor Robert, hey, I heard your message on the internet, and I trusted the one and true only God. I asked Him to save me. We'd be glad to hear from you. We'll send you back some information how to go forward for Christ. Steps of joy. You write to us and we'll send you some things in the mail to try to encourage your walk with God. We're going to sing one more verse. If anyone would like to come for any reason, you come right now. Oh, just to think that He is pleading. Just to think that He is calling from heaven. Come. Come. I think one of the greatest verses in the Bible, one of the greatest words in the Bible is the word come. It's an invitation from God. It's an invitation from heaven. Just come. Come. Just come as you are. I told little Eddie, if we can, I want to try to have that word on every billboard we put on. Come. Because I believe that's a heavenly word. God wants you to come. What a great message. Amen. All are glad they came. Say amen. We're glad you came. Robert, what I want you to do is go out there and greet the people as they leave tonight. What a blessing. Yeah. You know, you don't understand. I held off to